The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
From Memphis, Tennessee, on the banks of the mighty Mississippi, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today, folks. Buckle up. Going to be a weird show, no doubt about that. Wow, do we have a lot going on? And can I just say something about the weekend that we all just experienced? Was that weird or what? You've got the first of all, you had the big fight, Floyd Mayweather and what was it? Was it Jake Paul? I always get the or Logan Paul. I always get the two mixed up. Logan Paul was the one who was getting his face pummeled by Floyd Mayweather, but his brother said, No. Floyd Mayweather lost the fight. I don't know about that. But I do know that I'm pretty disappointed in myself for spending almost $50 for the pay-per-view boxing match. Anyway, it was still a good fight. I will also say this. There was apparently a raging debate on social media as to whether or not President Trump had his pants on backwards during his address in North Carolina. Now, Grace Baker, you are smiling ear to ear, cheek to cheek here. We have done our own investigation. We did an independent investigation.
I just think it's funny with all the issues going on. It's Joe Biden's flavor of ice cream and whether or not Donald Trump has his pants on backwards.
I don't get this. And again, if you're talking about a politician who would possibly put their pants on backwards, that would be Joe Biden.
This is true. I was a little surprised this wasn't Joe Biden's pants.
But they were going off on the pants. They said you couldn't see the zipper and there was the wrinkles.
It does kind of look like he's wearing a diaper, because if he has them on backwards, they're kind of bagging in the
front. He's not wearing
a
diaper.
Not really. It's just it's because it's so wrinkled, it's bunching weird, and it's like, ugh. I think he does. It does look like they're on backwards.
No. Well, the suit, there is not a legitimate, like, you can, you know, normally you can see where the zipper and the flap is. I got to be honest, I'm not exactly looking in that direction on a regular basis, especially when it comes to, you know, Donald Trump or any other politician for that matter. But this was literally trending on Twitter. This is why social media is so screwed up.
Yep.
They are messing up our country.
Well, do you remember Mike Pence and the fly?
Oh, yes. The fly during the debate. And,
yes,
and
the
folks,
vice presidential debate.
Grace Baker, of course, you had the snowy white hair of Mike Pence. The guy's got good hair.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, the fly comes in for a landing. And the fly, again.
Joe Biden, or not Joe Biden, sorry. Mike Pence is just talking.
It should be a compliment to Mike Pence. I mean, again, he had no idea there was a fly on his head. And the fly was clearly having a good time. And I don't know what kind of a conditioner or shampoo the vice president used, but clearly the fly was like, oh, this is very fragrant. This
is
very relaxing.
Well, the fly became a meme. So, again, social media, it was trending all weekend on Twitter.
So now you had Pence's fly and Trump's fly, both making headlines.
There you go.
All right.
Two different kinds.
The country's nuts, Grace. The country has gone plumb nuts. So, anyway, over the weekend, you had Governor Brian Kemp and the Republicans. There were all sorts of Republican meetings all over the place. And you had Republican Governor Brian Kemp out of Georgia. And you folks in Georgia delivered a repudiation of your governor at the big gathering in, I believe it was Jekyll Island, over the weekend. And we're going to play some audio from that in just a little bit. But by and large, we're starting to see the base of the party rise up and rebuke these, I hesitate to call Brian Kemp a rhino, but clearly he did not do what he should have done to protect the integrity of the ballot box. Does that make him a rhino? I don't know. That's up for you folks in Georgia to decide. And we've got about a dozen radio stations in the state of Georgia that carry this program, and I'd be very anxious to hear from you because this the governor was not well received. We're understanding that Vernon Jones, who was a former Democrat turned Republican, he's a black man, a black conservative, and he is gaining steam as in this whatever this battle is going to be for the governorship. You also, Republicans in Georgia, also voted to censure the Secretary of State. And I got to tell you something. Jody Heiss is going to clean that guy's clock. Raffensperger is his name. Jody Heiss looking good, leaving Congress to run to be the next Secretary of State. And that's going to be a good thing, especially come 2022. But then you have Liz Cheney. And Liz Cheney is out there hanging out with David Axelrod. And I'm just going to put a pin right there for just a moment. All of these never-Trumpers, all of these never-Trumpers, they love going after Donald Trump and they love schmoozing with the Axelrods and the George Snuffleupaguses of the world. They just love that kind of stuff. Take a listen.
This isn't a policy disagreement. This is the president provoking an attack on the Capitol to prevent us from counting electoral votes. Both McCarthy and Scalise, certainly McCarthy, made clear that he understood that that's what had happened in his remarks on the floor on January 13th. So there was no question in the days after the attack what had happened. There was no question who was responsible then. But then, of course, Kevin McCarthy decided to go to Mar-a-Lago at the end of January. And I think that was a real moment where it became clear we weren't going to be able to move forward and focus on substance and policy because we had leaders who were embracing the president who had just been impeached. What Donald Trump did is the most dangerous thing, the most egregious violation of an oath of office of any president in our history. And so the idea that a few weeks after he did that, the leader of the Republicans in the House would be at Mar-a-Lago essentially pleading with him to somehow come back into the fold or whatever it was he was doing, to me, was inexcusable.
So there you have it. Liz Cheney has now basically become an enemy of the Republican Party. She is going to do whatever is necessary to burn down this party and to take down everybody else with it. Now, here's what you need to understand here. In her mind, in her warped thinking, Liz Cheney believes she is doing the will of the Republican Party by getting rid of Donald Trump and by getting rid of all of you Trump supporters. But in doing so, and again, this is where it's going to get very, very interesting. Look, the Republicans are not going to have to work terribly hard to win back the House of Representatives, but they're going to have to get out there and work their butts off regardless. We need to send a resounding message in 2022 that we're not going to tolerate the socialist takeover of America. But we also have to send a message to these rhino Republicans, these Republicans in name only, the people like Liz Cheney. But she's going to be out there trying to sabotage the conservatives. I just want you, and I know this is a horrible thing to imagine that a fellow Republican would do something like that, but when Liz Cheney goes and hangs out and pals around with David Axelrod and George Snuffleupagus and all the rest of them, the folks over at MSDNC and CNN, the most profane name in news.
Negro Network.
I mean, really, this is what Liz Cheney is doing. She is trying to burn it down. You got to burn down the village to save the village, more or less. So the question is, are you prepared? Are you prepared to oust the rhinos, the never-Trump Republicans in the Republican Party? And if so, the issue then becomes, who do you primary? Who do you put up there to primary these folks? And I'm just going to, you know, I hate to talk about these kinds of things, but we've got to talk about these kinds of things. Some of the Republicans that were some of the conservatives that were putting up there to primary, yeah, they've got no business running for office. And in a few of these places where we should have won, we did not. So you've got to be smart about this. It's one thing to say, okay, yeah, we got a primary Liz Cheney. Okay, well, who is a viable alternative? And we need to have this conversation about the viability of candidates, because there are some folks out there wanting to run and they're wackadoodles. I mean, nice folks and everything, but they're just wackadoodles. And we can't be doing that. There is so much at stake here that we cannot keep electing or supporting wackadoodle candidates. So, look, we're going to be opening up the phone lines here. We're going to play this audio when we come back of Brian Kemp getting booed. Folks, the guy almost got booed off the stage at the Republican gathering at the state convention. He's the governor, the Republican governor of Georgia. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
You can hear the guy trying to talk. That's the governor of Georgia, Brian Kemp. And it just goes on and on and on. They would not let the man say his piece. And again, I know he botched the whole election thing. Okay, I get that. But did he deserve that? Did the governor of Georgia deserve that? Because they're coming after all these folks. I mean, this is happening. It's happening in Arizona, happening in North Carolina, and we're going to get to some of the things President Trump had to say over the weekend, but I want to hear from you. Did Brian Kemp deserve that kind of a greeting at the Georgia Republican Party convention over the weekend? 844-747-8868. Let's go to the phones. Sarah is listening to us on WDUN in Georgia. Hi, Sarah. What's going on?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I just want to get straight to the point. I'm very upset about what happened at the election, but I actually don't think that Governor Kemp deserved what he got at the convention. The state of Georgia has ran very well. He has supported the Second Amendment. He has supported conservative principles. And the group of people who led the effort on this booing are people who are supporting Vernon Jones, who's a corrupt Democrat turned Republican or so-called Republican. He has not proven his record. He has a track record of corrupt politics. And this is what identity politics looks like. And it is disgusting.
Now, Sarah, this is interesting that you bring this up, because I have had some questions about Vernon Jones. He was a lifelong Democrat until President Trump came around. And I don't know anything about the corruption part of it. But again, I always have questions when someone decides, you know what, we're going to switch horses in midstream. And you're right. I mean, there's a large part of this, and I will go back to replacing Liz Cheney with Elise Stefanik. That decision was made solely on identity politics. They wanted a woman. It didn't matter if she was the most qualified or not. They were going to put a woman in that spot. And so you're saying Vernon Jones, black, now identifies as a Republican conservative, and that's the reason why he's getting support.
Yes, and this is actually hurting us. This is hurting us very badly, and it's going to cost us the country. We have to stop. And I am all for welcoming people who come from the left. I actually voted on with the left. I didn't realize until I became aware that my values did not align with the left, and that's why I switched. We have to give people time to prove themselves. We cannot have someone who comes from the left who has a bad track record and even a history of violence against women. And you can look it all.
Now, where's the proof of that, Sarah? Because I haven't seen any of that in the reporting. Where's the proof of that?
Check the AJC. The AJC just...
Oh, the Atlanta Urinal and Constipation?
Yes. And the irony is that they withheld this information until Vernon Jones was welcomed with open arms by the Republican Party. And so the information is out there. He used to be CEO of DeKalb County. The county was ran to the ground. Again, there is articles that you can look up about the corruption. And actually, there is...
But he's not been charged with any crimes. He's not been charged with any crimes, has he, Sarah?
The answer is no.
The answer is no. No. You know what, Sarah? We don't judge people. We don't condemn people based on something that the big media says, and especially the Atlanta Urinal Constipation, which is one of the worst newspapers in America. Sarah, we're going to have to let you go there. Now, I'm reading the story. I pulled up the story that she's talking about. And again, there are accusations, but who knows? I mean, there have been no criminal charges filed. And we saw them play that same game with our dear friend, Herman Cain. So we're just not going to go down. We're not going to go down that path on this radio program. If you've got evidence of a crime, show us the evidence. Show us the investigation. Show us the criminal complaints. Otherwise, I don't. That aside, though, I still have questions about Democrats who suddenly switch parties because it is politically expedient or convenient. 844-747-8868. Let's go to Ronnie Chattanooga on NugaRadio.com. Hi, Ronnie. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I just want to know why you all want to criticize Liz Cheney for telling the truth, you know, because no matter what the Republicans do, the insurrection is not going away.
You mean the insurrection that was held? You mean the insurrection where they had no weapons? Is that the one you're referring to?
No. The one you all are not willing to investigate because you said, and Republicans said, that it was Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Now, if it was them, wouldn't you all want to know the truth about it? And I think I seen you and Joe up on stage correcting Trump pants, wasn't you? Wasn't you and Joe there Joe from LJ trying to turn them around and get them on right?
Now, Ronnie. A couple of things here. That was not me, Ronnie.
Okay.
You know, the reality here, Ronnie, is that Liz Cheney doesn't know what she's talking about. When you go back and you listen to the actual audio from the president, see the video for yourself of what happened on January the 6th, it was very clear that the president was calling for a peaceful protest. And the truth of the matter is this. We don't know what happened yet, Bronnie, because the investigations are not concluded. But I can tell you this. Ronnie just keeps on talking, doesn't he? Well, Ronnie, there's something called a microphone, and guess what? I get to control yours, too. So, I mean, you're going to let me speak, or you want to speak. At the end of the day, I'm going to win that battle. Good luck, Ronnie. Give us a call back, though. He did say something a little funny. I got at least one chuckle. Hey, got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By now, you've all heard me talk about MyPillow, and now Mike has done it again. Mike Lindell, introducing his all-new My Slippers. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop these incredible slippers designed to wear indoors and outdoors all day long. Those slippers are made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Your feet will sleep
For a limited time, Mike is offering 40% off his new My Slippers. The My Slippers are so comfortable that you're going to want to get some for the whole family. So go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Square and use the promo code STARNS. You're also going to get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow Mattress Topper, and MyPillow Towel Sets. Or just call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. That's 800-839-8506, promo code STARNS.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. By the way, there's a great story from Alameda County, California. Now, we have been talking on this program for a very long time about the China virus. And in the past, I have given qualifications by saying, oh, you know, it's a... Yes, I understand it's a serious virus, it's an illness, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I'm not going to do that anymore. Not anymore. I told you folks early on that I had my suspicions about this. You know, back when I was living in New York City in the early days of the pandemic and the national news, they were trying to convince all the rest of you folks out there across the fruited plain that New York was a dystopian society, that the hospitals were overrun, there were not enough beds to go around, that people were dropping dead in the streets. There was chaos and mayhem outside of the hospitals. And it simply wasn't true. As a matter of fact, I went out there to my neighborhood hospital, and I did a Facebook Live video. About 100 million people watched that video. They were telling you on the news that there was chaos and carnage, and yet there was nothing but a peaceful day. It was business as usual. Walked into the hospital, spoke to a public information officer who said that they still had plenty of beds available, and that, yes, people were coming in, they were getting tested, and they were going about their business, but by and large, it was a normal day, business as usual. And that led me to believe at that early stage that there was more to this than just some sort of a virus, a pandemic. And now we know, and we've known this for quite some time, that many of the deaths have nothing to do with the China virus. They're saying, what, 600,000, 700,000 people have died? And what they're wanting to do is get that number up to a million so they can say it was some sort of a... it was some sort of a genocide committed by Donald Trump. That's what they're wanting. But now we're beginning to see, in county by county, that the official numbers they originally said are simply not accurate. As a matter of fact, Alameda County in California, to their credit, released a statement over the weekend saying they had miscounted the number of China virus deaths by 25%. That is a significant number. And I want to read to you the reason why. What is it that they determined caused them to overcount the China virus deaths? Here's the money bite of this press release. It is important to accurately report deaths due to COVID-19 so that residents and health officials have a more precise understanding of the impact of the pandemic. Using the older definition of COVID-19 deaths, and let me stop here. So early on, the health department, the CDC, the orders went out saying, if you think they have COVID, they've got COVID, therefore they died of COVID. That was the rule. Now, back to the press release from Alameda County. And you're not going to see this on the national news, ladies and gentlemen, and you're about to understand why. Using the older definition of COVID-19 deaths, a resident who had COVID-19 but died due to another cause, like a car accident this person would be included in the total number of reported COVID-19 deaths for Alameda County. So they're actually admitting this now. They're admitting that if you got hit by a bus and you tested positive for COVID, guess what? You died of the China virus. Alameda County goes on to say, under the updated definition of COVID-19 deaths, this person would not be included in the total because COVID was not a contributing factor in the death. Now, we can hash this out, but the reality is that it's all unraveling. It is all unraveling. And now we know that Dr. Anthony Fauci is, quite frankly, a crook, a swindler. Dr. Fauci, over the weekend, they were talking about him. The former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, was on Face the Nation. And he revealed that Dr. Fauci told world health leaders back in 2020 that they had suspicions this was all due to a lab leak in Wuhan. Cut number two.
I was told at that time, back in the spring, that Dr. Fauci had gone over to a meeting of world health leaders in Europe around the World Health Assembly and actually briefed them on the information that they were looking at, that this could have been a potential lab leak, that this strain looked unusual.
It looked unusual. A lab leak. So Dr. Fauci needs to be hauled before Congress, and they need to launch an investigation into what was really going on here. And the bigger question is, was the United States funding this lab, and did we, in fact, use our tax money to pay for the creation of the China virus? But they're not going to do that with the Democrats in charge. Yet another reason why we have to have a change in 2022. By the way, President Trump put out a video over the weekend. The National Republican Senatorial Committee. Cut number nine.
I want to thank everybody for the tremendous support you've shown. We're going to take back the Senate, take back the House. We're going to take back the White House. And sooner than you think, it's going to be really something special. But the love and the affection and the respect that you've given all of us, it's really important. The Republican Party is stronger than it's ever been, and it's going to be a lot stronger than it is right now. We're going to turn it around. We're going to turn it around fast. Thank you all very much. That support has been so incredible. Thank you.
So what do you think Trump meant by that? That sooner rather than later, sooner than you think, the Republicans are going to take back the White House and the House of Representatives and Congress. What do you think he meant by that? You see, I'm still not convinced he's going to run for in 2024. I don't know. I'm just not convinced of that. But he was asked about possible running mates. He was on with our good friend Stuart Varney over at Fox Business. And Trump said that he could possibly see replacing Pence with Ron DeSantis if he were to run in 2024. That would be a fine ticket. If, in fact, this is where the president wants to go, if, in fact, this is what he wants to do. Now, I will say this. I mean, if the Republicans end up winning with landslides in the House and the Senate races, there could be an opportunity for Trump to jump back in. But there are a lot of people and a lot of people that you know, that you hear about on the cable news channels. And they say they're Trump supporters in front of the cameras, but behind the scenes, they're working to stop this president. So that's why it could be a long slog, even if Trump wants to run, just getting through the Republican machine. By the way, on that note, you should be aware that Ronna McDaniel is causing some big problems in the Republican Party and is alienating religious conservatives. Now, our good friend Tony Perkins from Family Research Council, I think he's going to be on the show tomorrow. But Tony Perkins fired off an essay, and we have this posted on ToddStarnes.com. Tony Perkins is accusing Ronna McDaniel of embracing a radical LGBT agenda. And he says this is a very, very dangerous thing. He says that McDaniel is embracing the transgender movement, and sure enough, a statement that she put out last week supporting Gay Pride Month is causing great concern among Christian conservatives. As a matter of fact, they're calling it the elephant in the room. Tony Perkins says that if the Republican Party keeps this up, they're going to start losing the support of social conservatives. And I'm curious to know what you think about that. Ronna McDaniel says the Republican Party is proud to have doubled our LGBTQ support over the last 4 years. We will continue to grow our big tent party by supporting measures that promote fairness and balanced protections for LGBT Americans and those with deeply held religious beliefs. Well, look, hate to break this to Ronna McDaniel, but there is no wiggle room. There is a constitutional right called religious freedom, freedom of religion, religious liberty. And when push comes to shove, both cannot coexist. These separate special protections for LGBTQ Americans cannot coexist peacefully with those who have deeply held religious beliefs. And these radical activists on the LGBT side, a small but vocal group, they don't want compromise. They don't want fairness or balance. They want to silence the church. And Ronna McDaniel, and I don't understand what she's doing here. Why would she go down this path where you're causing controversy for religious conservatives who have been probably among the most faithful supporters of the party? Again, I'm telling you, folks, there's a lot going on behind the scenes here, but there is no such thing as a compromise. And if the Republicans are not careful, if they do go down this path and they embrace the Blues Clues of the world, if you miss that conversation, the cartoons promoting the LGBT agenda featuring lesbian alligators and transgender beavers and gay bears, if that's the path that the Republican Party goes down, I don't think a lot of conservative religious people are going to go down that path. I may be mistaken here, but I don't think that is a winning formula. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We're going to the phones. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back.
Triggering microaggressions from coast to coast. It's Todd Starnes.
Well, my good friend Mike Lindell has done it again. These brand new My Slippers are just unbelievable. A lot of folks have been asking about them, and I'm telling you, I love mine, and I think you are going to love your My Slippers as well. Mike said it took him over 2 years to develop this. He was able to figure out a way to use the MyPillow foam and that impact gel, the same kind that he uses for the MyPillows, to create the beautiful My Slippers, which, by the way, made with quality leather suede. And for a limited time only, Mike is offering our listeners 40% off his new My Slippers. That's 40% off. That means you're going to be able to afford to get My Slippers for the entire family. You know, Father's Day just around the corner. What a nice gift for Dad. You know, get him some of the My Slippers. Here's what I want you to do. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use the promo code STARNS. That's MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS. Mike is also going to throw in some deep discounts on the Giza Dream Bed Sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and the MyPillow towel sets, too. You can also call 800-839-8506 and use the promo code STARNS. All right, let's get to the phones. North Carolina, Mike listening to us on The Talk Station. Mike says, I'm contradicting myself. Can't wait to hear about this. All right, Mike, what's going on?
Well, I know you've never done that before, so anyway, anyway, but it does seem like to me, because you're saying that, I guess it's a congresswoman, I didn't really recognize her name, but that she's alienating the Christian right, and then you're ready for Mr. Trump to change vice presidents, and Mike Pence happens to be a very good Christian man, and fortunately Trump's I wouldn't say surrounded himself, but he did have a number of good Christian men surrounding him. Okay. Anyway, so I don't think getting Mike Pence out of there is going to be a plus for the Christian right either.
No, Mike. So let's rewind here for a second, because I'm really not contradicting myself here. Ronna McDaniel is the chairperson of the RNC, so she's the head honcho over all the Republicans, and she's calling for this big tent party where you embrace the LGBT movement. Now, when it comes to Mike Pence, I like Mike Pence. I think he did a terrific job as vice president. I know a lot of people have a problem with whatever happened on January the 6th, but I got to be honest with you. If I've got a mob that's showing up inside the Capitol building yelling my name and wanting to see me, I would have a problem with that too. Now, that being said, I didn't endorse Ron DeSantis, but I did say it would make a pretty strong ticket. And the issue here, though, Mike, is whether or not Christian conservatives will stick with a party if the party decides to embrace gay marriage. That's where this is going, by the way.
I understand, yeah. I knew what you were talking about, but I did want to point out that January 6th, I was not disappointed in Mike Pence. I thought he did a wonderful job the whole time he was there. Kept things very calm. President Trump's a little excitable. but I think Mr. Pence kind of balanced him out on many occasions.
Oh, no doubt about that, Mike. And look, there's going to be a lot of disagreement. I would guarantee you that a majority of the people listening to this program disagree with you and me on that issue. But I think Mike Pence, at the end of the day, did a decent job defending the president and his agenda, and also bringing those social conservatives around. Because the president, I got to, again, folks, President Trump is a social liberal. Yes, he is pro-life, but on all those other issues, he is on the opposite side of the social conservatives, the Christian conservatives. Mike, appreciate the call. But the question is very simple. If the Republican Party decides to endorse gay marriage, if the Republican Party, for the sake of a big tent party, decides to embrace the LGBT agenda, would you, as a Christian conservative, still support the party? Is there room for you in your beliefs to still be a Republican and still support Republican causes? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We're going to be taking your calls on this in the next hour. Also, very excited to welcome George P. Bush to the program a little bit later on. He's running for office in Texas and getting a lot of blowback from members of his own family. George P. Bush is coming up. Also, Congressman Michael Cloud is going to be here. He's been down at the border. We've got some pretty shocking audio to play for you. That's all coming up next on the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We'll be right back, folks.
Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, it's a tough time to be named Karen. You know, what are you going to do? And I don't know. It's I don't necessarily have a problem with the name Karen. I think it's a lovely name. But now, of course, Karen is synonymous with, it's a pejorative term now for, you know, these entitled women or people that are, you know, demanding, very demanding people. Is there a male version of Grace? Do we know of a male version of the word Karen? Is it Carl or Scott? Avery?
That's a good question. Good thing Avery isn't here today.
That is true. Well, he's entitled. That's why he's got the day off.
When I think of Karen, I think of like the term. When I think of the term Karen, I think of rich, entitled suburban moms. If that makes sense.
That drive the big SUVs.
Yep, drive the big SUVs.
Mm-hmm. And they'll scoot. If you're looking for a parking spot at if you're looking for a spot at the Kroger, and they're going to cut in and get that parking spot.
They might even take up two spots.
Oh, I know that woman. I know that woman.
And then inside the Kroger, you know, they're the one, I need to speak to the manager. This orange is rotten. I don't know.
According to the Daily Wire, Karen's having... Look,
I feel bad for people
I feel bad. I know. It's kind of like back in the day, you know, when your kid was, you know, let's say your kid was Lee Harvey Oswald or something.
Jeez, I mean, it's terrible.
Or Adolf, you know, it's just, there are some names it's just not cool to have.
No.
But I like Karen. It's a good name.
It's a solid name.
It's a solid name. But apparently, the baby named Karen is not in vogue anymore. According to the Daily Wire, Joseph Curl is the author here. In case you've been living under a rock and have never been on social media, Karen is not a nice person. And he goes on to describe the definition. They actually have a definition of Karen now. Did you know this, Grace Baker?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. It'll probably be in, you know, this year's version of the dictionary or whatever.
Here's the definition. Middle-aged woman, typically blonde, makes... this is not me
blonde.
Now. All you blonde Karens, do not get angry at me here.
Pixie haircut.
No, you need to get mad at the Daily Wire. And again, the author of this piece, Joseph Curl. Direct your emails accordingly. Anyway, the definition of Karen. A middle-aged woman, typically blonde, makes solutions to others' problems and inconvenience to her all the... Let me try this again. Makes solutions to others' problems and inconvenience to her, although she isn't even remotely affected. Drives either an SUV or a minivan.
Yep, there it is.
Can be found complaining to managers at either Burger King or any McDonald's with a play area. Drinks crappy wine with her. Really? Is that like the $2 chuck out of the tray? Is that what they're talking about? Drinks crappy wine with her other non-working mom friends at book clubs and posts stupid memes on Instagram. Oh, Karens also own a variety of Walmart running shoes, which they wear 24/7. Oh, I think I dated one of these.
Dang.
Yeah. I'm getting a little bit of a flashback now.
Uh-oh.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, all that to say, there's a federal agency that keeps track of these things. The Social Security Administration says that the name Karen has plummeted. So moms and dads are not naming their daughters Karen.
Can't imagine why.
According to the Social Security Administration, the name Karen dropped 171 spots in the baby name rankings. That's not good.
Woof.
Coming in
That's
as
rough.
The 831st most popular name. The name is at its lowest ranking since 1927.
Wow. Almost a century ago.
That's a long time
That's
ago.
A very long
a
time.
A long time ago. That means in 2020, there were just 325 baby girls named Karen. That's a huge drop from the 33,000 babies named Karen in 1965. Now, that is fascinating. I guess it was a very popular name back in the 1960s.
Apparently.
Oh, they were talking about one Karen who really wasn't even named Karen. Her name was Amy. So this makes no sense. This story. Joseph Curl is the author, ladies and gentlemen. Just want to reiterate that. One infamous incident on May 25th involved Amy Cooper, who accused a black man of threatening her in Central Park. She was caught on video calling the police on, I remember this, as she fabricated the accusations. The story made national headlines. Cooper faced criminal charges for her action. Cooper was later described as the Queen of Karens by the New York Times. But her name's not Karen.
But see, that's now a term rather than a name, saying she is a Karen.
Why don't we just call her a moron? In September 2020, San Francisco supervisor Shimon Walton introduced the Karen Act, which is C-A-R-E-N. I guess that is the millennial spelling of the name.
I thought it was K-A-R-E-N.
All right, I'm going to stop here for just a moment and get off on a tangent. So, Grace, remind me of what we're talking about if I forget
okay,
here.
Okay, Karen.
These millennial spellings, moms, dads, you're killing us. If I am an author and we do book signings, and I can't tell you, Grace, how many times can you, what is your name? My name is Joe. Oh, okay. So I'll write, best wishes, Joe, J-O-E. No, my name is J-O-E-A-U-X, Joe. And I'm like, wait, what? Or even worse, it's like you have like Mary, who is like M-E-R-R-I-E-G-H. And you're like, what? All that to say, it's these millennial parents and the parents of the millennials. They're naming their kids like these freaky names.
I was going to say, it's not the millennials' fault because they didn't choose their name.
No. This is Gen X, which
is
my
generation.
This is my generation. And it drives me bonkers.
They were trying to get too creative.
So now, some guy comes into this happens all the time at book signings. And there was one woman, I misspelled her name three times. I'm just chucking books. So now I just always ask how to spell people's names.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if, hello, my name is Mike. And I'll ask Mike, okay,
Bob.
Mike, how do you, Bob. That's a better one. Bob. Okay, Bob, how do you spell your name? And Bob looks at me like I'm a moron.
It'll be B-A-U-B.
Right?
Bob. With the emphasis on the U.
Spell the names correctly.
I'm Grace. It's easy.
If your name is Shelley, there's no need to put an E on the end of the Y. Okay? We get it. It's Shelley.
Don't even get me started on Ann. Is it with an E?
Oh, sweet mercy. I'll tell you what. It makes you want to cuss like a Lutheran.
Yep.
I'm just
basically.
Telling you. All right. So back to this
Karen.
Story. Karen. So Shimon Walton has introduced the Karen Act. That's Karen with a C. It's an acronym. It stands for Caution Against Racially Exploitive Non-Emergencies Act. The act sought to amend the police code, making it against the law to give a false report based on a person's race, religion, gender, ethnicity, or sexual orientation. Our country is screwed up.
We've been talking about what? Donald Trump's pants. We've had Joe Biden's ice cream flavor. We got Karen's.
And apparently Kamala Harris still has not been to the border.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today.
And then you've got the gender reveal parties, where they're like blowing up towns now and communities.
Yeah, they're setting forests on fire.
I mean, what's wrong with you people? What happened to
a good old cake cutting that was like pink or blue?
Or better yet, you're just in the delivery room and...
Surprise! This is why I got a dog. We didn't have a gender reveal party for the dog.
I think you're better off because of it. A story out of Loudoun County, Virginia, and we love all of our listeners, especially you Karens out there. Loudoun County School Board, they're in big trouble. Can I just say this? I love the parents in Loudoun County, Virginia. I mean, they're giving that school district the what for. So the school district is now involved in a federal lawsuit. Parents are suing the school. And the reason why, it has to do with critical race theory. and a brand new bias reporting system. So here's what's happening. Liberty Justice Center, by the way, is representing the parents. So here's what's going down. So the school is creating something called a Student Equity Ambassador Program. If you are white, you are not allowed to be an ambassador. So you may be a white person in Loudoun County, a teenager at the high school, and you may even support this, but you would not be able to be a part of this because of the color of your skin. So what does this ambassador program do? Well, according to the lawsuit, the whole point is to turn students into speech police, and they are assigned to go out there into the school and actually report any kinds of political activities deemed offensive by the school district. Only students of color or those who expressly attest to being allies are eligible to participate in the Equity Ambassadors Program. The program is also paired with a bias reporting system that converts students into speech police. And the students are given the power to name and shame peers for expressing viewpoints inconsistent with extreme racial political ideology. You know, they used to do something like this back in Nazi Germany. They had sort of like their, you know, the youth brigades, right? That's what Loudoun County is doing here. This is in Northern Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. And I'm so excited and delighted that the parents are fighting back. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. Let's go to the phones. Levi, Indiana. Hey, Levi, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Speaking of odd spellings of names, I was on a dating site once for a while, and I encountered a girl on there who spelled her name, spelled the name Shelley as S-H-E-L-E-I-G-H.
No, she did not. Lee, are you kidding me? Are you pulling my leg here, Levi?
No, I'm not. I'm serious.
I'm curious. Did you end up going out with Shelley with the strange name spelling?
No, I did not. I messaged her, but I did not work out because she was in a wheelchair, and I live in a house that has steps.
Oh well, that would be that would be a problem. Yes.
Well, and a very narrow doorway to get into the house.
Oh, that's even worse. Yeah, you'd have to carry her inside. Yeah, that's kind of, that would be awkward, I suppose. Well, Levi, good luck to you out there. Are you still single? Are you still on the dating websites?
No, I'm actually seeing somebody now. Her name's Maureen, and it's actually spelled normal.
Oh, well, that's even better. Good for you. Levi, good for you. And look, hang in there. We had a bad phone connection there. My apologies, Levi, but. We're just going to take a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
A lot of you folks on the Facebook live stream weighing in on this. Todd, the male version of a Karen is called Terry. And then others are saying it's Ken. So Terry and Ken apparently are the male equivalent of the female Karen. By the way, one person wrote and said, Todd, have you heard of the spelling of Karen? C-A-R-Y-N. No, I had not, but I do now. So thank you for that. So. I mean, I heard Levi, you know, he's on the dating app and Grace, you know, he said he had to, you know, it didn't work out with the lady because she was in a wheelchair and he didn't have a ramp. He just had stairs.
Yeah, that'd be kind of difficult.
And then getting her into the door would be difficult.
Yeah, a little bit.
It would be hard. I understand.
I understand, too.
It's tough dating out there.
Yeah,
you know,
it
what
is.
Can you say?
Oof,
all
there's
right.
so many dating apps. Jeez.
You know, there are. We need to start one. I mean, we're.
Oh, no. The conservative corner.
We almost got Caleb Park married off a couple of years ago, back when I was at Fox. And we had a lady call in, just a sweet lady. And she sent us a note. She sent me a note, reached out on Facebook, said that she had a daughter who was about Caleb's age. And she said the daughter is a farmer. And she knows all about milking cows and all that kind of thing. I mean, put it all out there, you know.
Okay.
And knew how to cook and clean and, you know, do farm work. And so
the whole package.
She seemed to think that Caleb could, you know, could use a farm girl as a wife.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not quite sure how that all worked out. But Caleb's still single, so.
He needs to come on and give us a story sometime. Why?
You know what? We're going to ask him about that the next time he's on the show.
Sounds good.
We'll get it. And, of course, we're doing the same thing for Avery right now.
Yeah, I'm having. Come on, people. You got to give me a call.
It's tough.
It is tough.
It's tough. It's kind of like a slow market right now.
It kind of is.
All right. Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. 844. This is a weird show. And it started out because of Donald Trump's pants. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah, I think I blame it on that.
It was downhill
from there.
And
also letting me give you the stories for today.
That is probably the broader issue. We'll discuss after the show. 844-747-8868. A bit of good news to share with you. A school in Illinois under fire. They confiscated a little girl's Bible. So our friends over at the American Center for Law and Justice have the story. We've got a link to it on our website. Here's how it goes down. This little second grader, she liked to read her Bible during recess. And at this particular school, you could either have your recess inside or outside. But they told her that she was not allowed to read her Bible inside or outside because it was against school policy, and the teacher confiscated the little girl's Bible. Now, look, this is nothing new. We have seen this play out in the past 3 weeks. We've told you stories about two Michigan high school students who were told not to talk about God or religion in their graduation remarks. And it should not be all that surprising because most of the people that are filling your kid's mind with mush are godless heathen Democrats, in that order. I wrote about this in my book, Culture Jihad, that the best course of action here, folks, the best course of action is to take your kid and get their behinds out of the public schools. Homeschool, send to a private Christian school, but do your homework and get your kids out of the public schools. So anyway, the American Center for Law and Justice got plugged into this, and they wrote a nice letter to the school district, and they said, hey, look, what you're doing is unconstitutional. You literally cannot stop a child from reading the Bible. The school district, they read the letter, they realized they made a mistake, and the good news here, folks, that little girl able to read her Bible during recess. How about that? Good for you, little girl. Her name is Gabrielle. 844-747-8868, toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Stick around. All right, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. This is radio for the Make America Great Again crowd. Big, big primary tomorrow in New Jersey. A lot of Republicans running for the governor's mansion and governor's office. One of those is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line. He is a pastor in Hoboken, New Jersey, right across the river from the Big Apple. Phil Rizzo is on the line. Phil, good to have you with us today.
Good afternoon. How are you?
You know, I'm doing well, Phil, and we appreciate you coming on the program. You know, one of the things I like about you, in some of these state races, we see Republicans that try to shy away from talking about Donald Trump. You know, they would they don't want anything to do with the guy. They don't want him out there campaigning. But you are one of those guys who, you know, you support President Trump, and he's a good guy in your estimation.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody could deny the things that President Trump did for our country were all good things. Unemployment, the economy, law and order, our relationship with Israel. I mean, things were going great under President Trump. I'm certainly not going to shy away from him. And I've supported him for quite some time now. And yeah, I'm not exactly sure why people would move away from President Trump. His position and policies were solid for America.
So you're the pastor of a Baptist church. That means you're good people. you also had a very successful career, I guess, your third generation real estate. They're trying to poke at you, which means you're actually doing something right, Philip. I don't know if you've figured that out by now, but when they're coming after you with the attack stories, that means you're doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm a third generation real estate developer, and I have my own construction company. And for the last 10 years, I've been pastoring in deep blue Democratic Hudson County. We've started two churches, one in Hoboken, another one in North Bergen, both in Hudson County. And I'm surrounded by Democrats. And so I'm a populist. And that's why my own party is really resisting me, because I'm fighting for Democrats and Republicans. Because under Phil Murphy, everybody's struggling. Businesses are being closed, and it's not red or blue. It's New Jersey families. Kids are suffering in these masks and not having consistent schooling. Anxiety and depression amongst our young people is skyrocketing. That's not red and blue. That's New Jersey families. And so I'm going right to the heart of New Jersey families. I'm a family man myself, and that's why the hits keep coming from every direction.
Phil, in your estimation, and there are a lot of issues out there, but what is the one that seems to be resonating with people who are getting ready to go and vote tomorrow?
People have expressed to me up and down the Garden State that they have lost control of their lives. They have no say over their children's education from a progressive curriculum. They have no control over their children's medical decisions with these mandated vaccines. And they're losing control of their businesses. Who could be open? Who's closed? What's your capacity? And so I'm running on a freedom mindset here, freedom for the family. And we've got to get people's lives back in order. We've got to get the power back to the people. Phil Murphy has intruded into every area of our lives, from our businesses, from our homes, and the entire faith community.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, Phil Rizzo. Phil, I'm wondering what's that like, you know, being a pastor and now going in and you know, trying to be the next governor of the state of New Jersey.
Well, we're building bipartisan support. And so I have a business degree from Villanova University. I have my master's degree in theology. And so I'm a very unique candidate. I have a business mind, but I have a pastor's heart, and I can fix things in the state that no politician can, because I've not climbed the political ladder. I've not kissed rings along the way. And so I don't really owe anybody anything. I answer to God first. I answer to every New Jersey family second, and there is no third. And so that is what I'm running on. That is what's gaining us a lot of support, bipartisan support. And we're looking forward to tomorrow's primary election, and then the general November 2nd against Phil Murphy.
You know, it's interesting about New Jersey, and of course, our show, we're broadcasting from below the Mason-Dixon line, and Phil, a lot of people would think, oh, well, New Jersey is sort of like New York City, but I got to tell you, South Jersey, a lot of pickup trucks, a lot of country music fans down in that part of the state. I mean, they're pretty much Southerners with a different accent.
That is so true. The northern part of the state as well, you've got this little band right through the middle. But really, we're not as blue as everybody would think. Over the last 40 and a half years or so, we've had two-term Republican governors, one-term Democrat, two-term Republican, and we've kind of just went 2-1, red to blue. And so we're not as blue as people think we are. We need a right-lane conservative, and that's what I am. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-gun. I'm pro-Trump, pro-military. I'm for medical freedom, our police, everything that you could put in a list of a conservative Republican. I check every box. But again, as a pastor, I'm speaking right to the hearts of Democrats as well. And we're going to need a bipartisan effort to take out the Murphy machine here in a couple months.
All right. And again, Phil, where can people go if they want to get more information about your campaign?
JerseyRizzo.com is our website. You can read about our platform. You can give us a couple dollars just at the very end here. We're sending out mass text messages reminding people to get out and vote. So you could donate or learn about our platform on JerseyRizzo.com.
You know, it's interesting. Politico reporting that the front runner, that many people call the front runner, is a guy who actually called President Trump a charlatan back in 2015.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a problem not being the establishment pick. That candidate has 100% of the New Jersey GOP establishment backing. I'm okay not being the establishment pick. That kind of makes you the cool kid in American politics these days. But if you're going to make an establishment pick, at least make it a conservative. My opponent will not turn out the conservative base in New Jersey, and I will. So if the people speak tomorrow, the people will choose their candidate, and Rizzo will be that candidate.
All right. Well, Mr. Rizzo, best of luck to you out there on the campaign trail. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you so much for sharing me with your audience. I appreciate it.
All right. Phil Rizzo, ladies and gentlemen, and running for the governor's office there in New Jersey. There was an internal poll that was there have been a lot of shenanigans in this race, and there are a couple of other guys that are running. One of them by the name of Singh, S-I-N-G-H. And Mr. Singh published an internal poll. I don't know how they got a handle on this or got control of it, but Brad Parscale did an internal poll, and it showed Singh with a lead heading into tomorrow's Republican primary. But the bigger issue here is the front runner, who is no fan of President Trump. Jack Cetarelli. And many Republicans say Cetarelli is the only candidate with a shot of defeating Phil Murphy in November. But Cetarelli called Trump a charlatan in 2015. In other words, he's a Liz Cheney Republican. So we'll see how Pastor Rizzo does. I know someone just sent me a text. They have Baptist in New Jersey? Of course they do. They're Baptist all over the place. But I will say this, Grace. It was interesting. I'm not kidding you. They're very they're very conservative people in New Jersey, especially in the southern part of the state.
I've never been to New Jersey. So
and they say it's the Garden State. They got great beaches. You know, you got the Atlantic City,
beautiful,
the boardwalk. But I was down there, and I was visiting with one of my friends down in Jersey. And she says, "Oh, she's a huge country music fan." And she said, "Play that song, play that song." I said, "What song are you talking about?" She goes, "Oh, I've got friends with Tractus. I love that song.
Gosh.
I've got friends with Tractus." I'm like, "What's a tracta? Come on." But it translates well, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's America.
It works.
Yeah, absolutely. All that to say, folks, we got a lot more in common than we think. So just don't buy into what the media is trying to, they're trying to divide us. But there are a lot more of us than them. All right, got to take a break. 844-747-8868. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
All right, folks, welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Randy is listening to us on The Talk Station in North Carolina. Hi, Randy. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Doing great. Hope you are.
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. No, I was listening to your show today, and you were talking about the issue with President Trump having his pants on backwards. And we were sitting close to the motorcade, and I picked up my binoculars that I just happened to have in the van with me as I was driving, and I just checked out President Trump as he got out, was walking up towards the entrance to go in, and I didn't see anything wrong with the way he was dressed. And we in a band, you try to dress to impress if you're playing these type of events. So I just wanted to put my two cents in and say he looked pretty good dressed to me.
Randy, I'm curious, what was the reaction? I mean, you were there. What was the reaction to the president?
Oh, it was amazing. He came in, he was, and I was not actually in the area where he gave his speech because we were having to set up equipment to play, but I knew tons of the people that were there very well. And everybody that came out, I questioned them because I know them and they're straight shooters. And they told me that he was the most composed, the calmest they'd ever seen him. And it was a great speech. Said that he laid out all the things that he had done while being president. And then he laid out what was going on now with Biden being president and how it was hurting the country. Very calm and very, very, very good speech.
I watched the speech on Newsmax, and they carried the entire speech without interruption. And the vibe, they did not have the audience mic'd, so you couldn't really hear that much of the applause, but it was faint. And that's why I was curious, because I think that based on what I saw, he really got a very, very warm welcome there from North Carolinians.
It definitely was, and the applause was very loud. When it all ended, we were way down the other end at the convention center getting ready, and you could hear the applause burst loud in the hollering. It was very amazing.
Randy, I'm curious. Do you think Trump's going to be the guy for 2024, or is it too soon to say that?
I personally think of course he would be a great pick for the country, no doubt, and DeSantis would be a great pick also. But there's some other people out there too. But I think probably it'd be awesome if he became Speaker of the House, of course, before and then president. And I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see. But I think he's going to be definitely a important character in the Republican Party from this point forward. And the Republican Party needs to unite.
Now, this is interesting that you mentioned the Speaker of the House, because Trump was asked about this. And there are some folks out there that are saying that's how we need to play this, is that mm-hmm. Trump should run for a House seat in 2022 and become Speaker. But here's the thing, Randy, you don't have to be an elected member of Congress to be Speaker of the House. I mean, theoretically, if the Republicans get the majority, they could name Trump as the Speaker of the House. So that's how this could go down.
It could. And who knows what's going to happen.
So
there's one thing I want to ask you, why I have you on the
phone,
that I've thought of many times. When the FBI guys that got in a little bit of trouble, we've never heard a whole lot of that or a lot from, the U.S. attorney who was supposed to be investigating all that stuff. And they said that they got all their information from their FBI phones. Did they ever check the FBI, these people that were involved, Strzok and all those folks, did they ever check their emails and their personal phones?
Well, I mean, that's a fair question. And again, we don't know because, we're still waiting. We're still waiting for those reports to come out and waiting.
Absolutely.
And waiting. So, Randy, good questions and good thoughts. We're going to leave it there. Thank you for calling in. What do you think
about?
All right. Thanks. Thank you, sir. Again, what do you think about this idea? And Wayne Allen Root, talk radio host out of Vegas, actually pitched this. And President Trump said, it's a pretty interesting idea. Here's my thought. I'm not sure that the president wants to be president again. And it could be that he is the kingmaker. Maybe he relishes that role more so than getting back into the the four more years of the White House. And maybe Trump does become the kingmaker. Maybe DeSantis would be the guy with a running mate of, I don't know, Kristi Noem or some other rock-solid conservative out there. But if the Republicans get control, could you imagine Donald Trump as Speaker of the House? Wow, what a beautiful thing that would be. For one thing, CNN has to be excited about it because they've lost all of their ratings. I mean, nobody watches CNN, the most profane name in news, anymore.
Crying Negro Network.
Nobody. Thank you, Judge Joe Brown. I mean, nobody. It's embarrassing. I mean, Anderson Cooper, Brian Stelter, who was fawning all over Jen Psaki the other day. I mean, it's no wonder that people are just not watching CNN anymore.
Ryan Negro I'm Network.
Black. I'm a lawyer.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. 844-747-8868. What do you think about this? Donald Trump, Speaker of the House. 844-747-8868. You know what? He would clean house. I can tell you that much. That would be a sight to see. That would be must-see TV every single day. No doubt about it. All right, coming up in the next hour of the program, we're going to be talking to Congressman Michael Cloud down on the border. Also, George P. Bush, yeah, of the Bushes. He's running for the attorney general seat in Texas, and he's embracing President Trump. And in doing so, catching a lot of flack from his own family. We're going to be talking to him as well. Also, now is a perfect time to pre-order a copy of my brand new book coming out June 22nd. It's called Our Daily Biscuit, Devotions with a Drawl. And we need your help to get on the New York Times bestseller list, folks, mainly because we want to trigger tick off the liberals over the New York Times. But we need you to get out there, order a couple of copies of this great new devotion book. It includes some incredible, inspirational stories. You're going to laugh your head off. We've got some great Bible verses, some delicious recipes, all in this compact little book that you're going to love. All right, we got to take a break. 844-747-8868. ToddStearns.com is the website. We'll be right back.
Coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome to Hour 3 of the big show. Good to have you with us, ladies and gentlemen. Not sure what you were doing over the weekend, but yesterday, on D-Day, it's sort of a tradition in the Stearns household. We watch Saving Private Ryan, one of the most powerful war movies, war dramas in recent memory, and just the emotion that was there that day, seeing the sacrifice that these young American men made, some of them 17 years old, giving their lives for freedom. And, of course, yesterday, the 77th anniversary of D-Day, the invasion of Normandy, and not a word from the White House, not from the White House Twitter account, not from the White House Facebook page or website, nothing from President Biden at all. Instead, President Biden posted a tweet about a video he made with the survivors of the Tulsa massacre. Again, a horrible moment in American history. But we were talking yesterday about D-Day. As a matter of fact, Vice President Kamala Harris, she actually mustered the decency and posted a message saying that we will never forget the courage or the sacrifice those young American men made. But unfortunately, her boss, President Joe Biden, has forgotten about the courage and the sacrifice that happened on that day. And just a few moments ago, Jen Psaki at the White House was asked about that.
Bush, Obama, and Trump all commemorated D-Day anniversaries on D-Day, on the D-Day anniversary. Why didn't President Biden?
Well, I can tell you that certainly the his value for the role that men and the men who served on D-Day and the memory of them, the families who have kept their memories alive over the course of years on this day, is something the president has spoke to many, many times in the past. It's close to his heart, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's more we would have to say on.
Well, okay, fine. If there was more to say, it should have been said yesterday on D-Day. How do you not talk about that? How do you not commemorate that? I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. We're honored to have with us from the great state of Texas, Congressman Michael Cloud. And Congressman, I know you yesterday were tweeting about the significance of what happened in 1944. Your reaction to what Joe Biden did not do.
Well, this seems to be just a number one of a long line in an attempt for us to forget what's great about America and focus on making us feel ashamed about who we are as an American. You know, this is an amazing moment of sacrifice where Americans stepped up to save the world from tyranny. It's something that, you know, every generation, you mentioned the movie Saving Private Ryan. My kids are a little too young to see it still, but I have it. It's one of those I'm waiting for the right moment to be able to introduce that to them, just because it's so important for us and for generation after generation to understand what it takes to live in the peace and prosperity, relative peace and prosperity our nation has experienced. You know, it takes a tremendous amount of sacrifice, and it's certainly worthy of our honor and respect.
Well, it is, Congressman. But again, when you look at this administration and what they are doing with the military, the greatest fighting force on the planet, and they have turned it into this social engineering petri dish, are you concerned about the military and the strength of our military based on this the social justice narrative that's coming out of the armed forces?
Very much so. We've seen it in our schools, but we see it now in our military, which, you know, the whole point of our military is to be the strongest fighting force in the world. And if that's not the number one prevailing issue in our military, I don't know why we have one. But we see tremendous, certainly not the respect that's due the military for their service. The recent budget has cuts to defense spending, the proposed budget, and at a time when our adversaries on the world stage are only more committed to taking us out and gaining ground each and every day, while we're preoccupied on a number of other issues that don't have the same kind of significance as the federal government, we need a completely different trajectory from leadership in our White House.
No, you're absolutely right, Congressman. And I got to be honest with you, I've seen all the recruitment videos, you know, that talking about the gay librarians, right? And you know what? I want the biggest, baddest SOB that you can find on the front lines defending freedom. That's who I want.
I think most of America would agree. You know, when we're talking about what should guard our communities, or you know, certainly people who are capable and up to the task of defending us. I mean, that's why we have boot camp. That's why we have the rigorous standards that have been there before.
Well said.
When it comes to security. So, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, making sure that we can keep our families safe and secure and our communities protected, and then, of course, interests around the world protected.
Meanwhile, Congressman, perhaps the one of the greatest threats to American security is what's happening along our southern border right now. Kamala Harris is willing to go anywhere in the world except the border. Your reaction?
Well, I was just there last week. I went there with Byron Donalds and Lauren Boebert. We were there investigating. We looked all over and did not see her. We asked several times if the border czar had visited the border, and no one had seen her that we were able to speak to as well. I don't know how you go and secure the border without going to visit what's there. It's important for people to go. When I've gone, we've led a few different trips to the border now, and I take the media with us. I take our local media with us because it's it's amazing to see people who've only seen it from a policy standpoint or have watched the national discussion play out. But when they get to the boots on the ground and begin to hear the stories of what's happening, you realize that what might seem as an exaggeration when you're just listening is actually only scratching the surface of that, how bad things are at the border. And unfortunately, again, the White House just seems more inclined to continue this effort. We don't even have the willingness to mitigate what the cartels are doing. And it gives a severe disadvantage to the men and women guarding our border and to the communities that are represented along the border and then throughout the United States as well.
Congressman, I'm curious, in your interactions with your colleagues up on Capitol Hill, are you hearing, I mean, we know what's coming out publicly from the Democrats, but privately, are you hearing any concerns from Democrats about what's happening at the border?
There are a couple who stood up and made note of what's going on at the border. You know, privately, I wish there were a lot more standing up and frankly, publicly, because we need real activity on the border. I mean, just to give an example of how bad it is, we talked to some individuals at a checkpoint, and some human smugglers had run the checkpoint. So they just blew through the checkpoint, kept speeding through, went along the, you know, the authorities gave pursuit. And so they went along the way, slowed down to the road, a bunch of people jumped out, went up, turned left, went up the road a bit into a city. More people got out, turned back around, went through another intersection, went up city and let some more people out, abandoned the vehicle in a ranch, you know, plowed through a fence and then went on foot. Eventually the human smuggler was apprehended, but the officials, understanding the lay of the land, decided it was better to let them be prosecuted on the state traffic violations than it was to hand them over to federal authorities, that they realized nothing would be done on the human smuggling aspect and the cartel aspect of it.
All right.
What we're doing is laughable right now when it comes to mitigating the cartel activity.
No doubt about it. Congressman, we are going to have to leave it there. We appreciate you coming on the program. Appreciate you bringing light to what's happening down on the border.
No problem. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Congressman Mike Cloud, folks, of the great state of Texas. I'm just curious, why do you think Biden did not mention D-Day? Do you think it was intentional, or do you think he just flat out forgot? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. The breaking news coming out of the White House, Jen Psaki says, well, the president may possibly think about issuing a statement, but we'll get back to you on that. We'll be right back.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
All right, Kamala Harris is down in Guatemala, not to be confused with Mexico. I'm trying to be, I'm trying to embrace my, the Spanish language, you know, because Grace Baker, you know, we want to be, we don't want to be offensive, and I know I'm of the Caucasian persuasion.
Maybe I need to give you some lessons.
Well, look,
that was my minor in college. So.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You see, I should. The only Spanish I really know is really what I learned at Taco Bell.
Oh.
And Del Taco.
Oh. Gosh.
But I can work my way through the gordita and the chalupa, and then that's
so basically
where I
you want to know all the words for different foods.
Right. Yes, but again, the correct pronunciations. So, for example, Guatemala and Mexico.
I have no words, Todd.
Speedy Gonzalez. All right. Anyway, Kamala Harris says that we need to go to Guatemala. We need to work with Guatemala to insist in with ecopreneurs, which is that like an entrepreneur, except you're working with what, dirt? I don't get that. She also said the reason why she hasn't gone to the border is that's just a grand gesture. And we don't need grand gestures. We need to go to Guatemala and Mexico. That's Kamala Harris. or Kamala Harris, however you pronounce it. So we're going to be efforting some audio of this, and we'll be talking more about this on tomorrow's program. New poll came out. They did a straw poll at the Georgia Republican Convention. Now, this is interesting. Our good friend Howard, listening to us on WRWH, great radio station in Cleveland, Georgia. So first of all, they asked Georgia voters who they would like to run in the U.S. Senate. And 29% say Herschel Walker. 29% want Herschel Walker. Only 2% want Kelly Loeffler. 2%. When it comes to governor, now this is interesting. Governor Brian Kemp leads at 33%. This is, again, four Republicans. Candace Taylor, who I do not know, comes in at 22%. Vernon Jones, 21%. Undecided, 24%. Now, look, I want to go back and say something about Vernon Jones. We've had him on the show a good many times, and he seems like a very nice person. But here's my thing. You have to prove your conservative bona fides, and that takes time. So if Mr. Jones, who is a brand new Republican, maybe he needs to wait this thing out and come back after he has established himself within the Republican Party. That's all. Lieutenant Governor, we're going to move through. We'll move through that one. Here's Secretary of State Jody Heiss, our good friend Jody Heiss. 55% of Republicans say they would vote for Jody Heiss. I think this is going to be a landslide. Brad Raffensperger, 1%, Grace. 1%.
That's not a great look.
That's embarrassing. Because, you know, it was like his Raffensperger's
mother. Just drop out now, man.
You know, that was his mother and his wife, and he probably voted. They're the 1%.
Maybe he voted for himself.
Would you like to see President Trump run again in 2024? This is the Georgia Republican Party. 60% of Georgia Republicans say yes, they want to see President Trump run again. This, again, from the straw poll that was taken over the weekend. If President Trump decided to run again for president, how likely would you be to vote for him in the Republican primary? This is fascinating. 63% say very likely, 9% say likely, 5% unlikely, 10% very unlikely, and then 13% undecided. So, this next one, I'm just disappointed my name was not on this other list here. If President Trump decided not to run again for president in 2024, who would your choice for the 2024 GOP nominee be? So Ron DeSantis comes in first place, 49%. Nikki Haley, 8%. Rand Paul, 6%. Ted Cruz, 5%. Mike Pompeo, 5%. Candace Owens at 3%. Tom Cotton, 2%. Greg Abbott, 1%. Tucker Carlson got 1%. And so did everybody else. Mike Pence. Mike Pence got 1%. So you're telling me that more people would rather Candace Owens be president than Mike Pence? Don Jr. got 1%, as did Kristi Noem. All that to say that it is still status quo. When it comes to the Republicans in Georgia, they still believe that Donald Trump is a viable guy, that he is their guy. Oh, by the way, so we'll get into more of this with George P. Bush. He's coming up after the break. Did you see the video of the Amazon delivery chick? This is crazy. So this, do we say Hispanic or Latina or Latinx? I don't know. Anyway, we're talking about some Hispanic chick. She's delivering the Amazon package, and the lady who came to pick it up was a white woman. Well, she's still a white woman. She is a white woman. 68, I believe, 67, 68 years old. So she's elderly. And it turned out that it was not her package. And so the woman was very upset. Can't say I blame her because, you know, Amazon – you know, they're not very good on the delivery stuff. So anyway, the woman was complaining to the Amazon delivery person, and this is all on video, by the way. And Grace, this was shocking. So the Amazon delivery person was basically chewing the woman out, saying, "Oh, this is just all this is your white privilege. This is your white privilege."
Okay.
So the woman turns around to walk back in, and she says, "Well, you don't need to be a bee about it." All right.
I mean.
And at that point, the Amazon chick just lunges and starts beating the holy living you know what out of this white woman. She sucker punched the woman. I mean, brutally beat her. I mean, it was a beatdown. The whole thing on video, which we have on our website. So, Grace, now the Hispanic Latinx chick is saying it was a self-defense, senor. Self-defense.
Okay.
Why, what?
And my name's Karen.
So, oh, with a C. So, the Latinx Amazon delivery chick, in her mind, when... You know, she was the victim because the woman was white.
It was her truth.
It was her truth. Can you just deliver the packages? Is that too much to ask? I mean, really. So anyway, that woman's facing a lot of charges now. I mean, big time trouble. Got to take a break. George P. Bush coming up next. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Good to have you with us today. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. ToddStearns.com is the website. Want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line? What? It's an honor to have George P. Bush hanging out with us, running for the Attorney General spot there in the great state of Texas. George, hope you're doing good today.
Great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, look, so I'm excited about your candidacy here, but I want you to address this tweet that Karl Rove put out the other day. He says that the Bush family's very bothered by your support of President Trump, and I believe he actually used the term Jeb is heartbroken talking about your dad. What's your reaction to Karl Rove?
Well, I've actually, as part of this campaign, determined to quit Twitter. And so this is the first time I'm hearing about it. But, you know, whether it's Carl or others in my Republican primary here in Texas, I'm sharing with voters my vision. It'll be my name on the ballot. And I happen to be a big supporter of President Trump. I thought his policies on our southern border as related to illegal immigration, his ideas in terms of defunding cities that defund the police, taking on human trafficking, which are the big issues for an attorney general in our state, I just happen to be in close alignment with. And in terms of my family dynamic, I obviously love them. I talk with Dad, my Uncle George, ask for their advice when they're willing to give it. And, you know, they understand that the stakes are large. And when you look at the Biden-Harris agenda, a state like Texas has to step up to the plate and push back. Otherwise, you know, there's some other great states, but we're the biggest one. So we got to be in the fight.
No, I hear you. And I think, honestly, George, when you look at the hatred coming from the mainstream media, I mean, the Washington Post had a headline, George P. Bush, the Lone Star State's latest profile in cowardice. I mean, George, that tells me that you are onto something here and you have a very large base of support in Texas.
Well, thank you for that, Todd. I mean, I think similar to, I remember when I campaigned for my uncle when he was president, they would describe it as the Bush derangement syndrome in the mainstream media. But, you know, the Trump derangement syndrome is really on a different level. I mean, you can't, and in today's cancel culture, you can't express your beliefs and your ideas without, you know, a threat of being canceled or criticized. But, you know, I've been in public service now for 6 years. I've served in the military for for a decade. You know, I've got tough skin and I'm willing to take the heat because the values are too important and we got to win it.
On the Liberty University Newsmaker line, George P. Bush running for attorney general there in the state of Texas. Ken Paxton has certainly been in the headlines lately. What's your estimation of how he has run that office?
Well, there's certainly changes we can make. Ideologically, we see eye to eye on a lot of issues. He's made some good filings, hasn't won as many cases as you would hope for. But what this campaign is going to be about is the competency, the integrity, the character of running an office of 4,200 people with a budget of about $660 million. And, you know, I'm here in Austin. I'm ready to go. I have a proven track record of asking more from less. I've downsized my workforce at the land office by 20%, saving the taxpayer millions of dollars. And so when you look at this agency, you know, I've talked about border security. I've talked about human trafficking, where there's been zero cases referred to the AG's office. This is one of the fast growing crimes in our state. And because of the crisis in leadership, we haven't seen a lot of local DAs refer those cases. Backing the thin blue line, making sure we're preventing the stripping of authority of our honorable men and women that wear the blue and separate us from the chaos and anarchy. But my fourth pillar, which I think goes to your question, is just restoring accountability to a large bureaucracy. I bring a background in business and also in law, and have a really good team that can help clean up and make things more efficient in the day-to-day practice.
And again, I mean, we're talking about a major state that, how Texas goes, so goes the rest of the nation. And there are a lot of concerns about the number of people moving in from blue states and bringing their politics with them. Are you concerned about that as well?
To a certain extent, you know, our studies show that roughly half of the California, just to give you a context, about 150 people move here to Austin, the capital city, every single day on a net basis, and about 1,000 to Texas on a net basis. And at least in Austin, it's estimated that half come from California, which, from a Republican Party perspective, certainly raises flags. But our estimate shows that half of those Californians are registered Republicans. And so when you look at kind of 2018, the last time we were as the statewides on the election ballot, it was fairly tight. You know, Ted Cruz wins with a little over 2%. Ken Paxton, the current attorney general, won. He was the lowest vote getter at about 1.5%. And since that time, we got the wake-up call that we need to reach out to these registered Republicans that are moving here because of the failed liberal progressive policies of California, New York, and Illinois, micro-target them, encouraging them to register and get out to vote. And it showed in 20, where President Trump carried the state with close to 10%, carrying long-held Democrat counties on the southern border, majority Hispanic communities, close to getting Hidalgo County, Zapata County, over the security issue. And so I'm optimistic because we're fine-tuning the process at the state party level to find these new voters, encounter them, remind them that the reason why you're moving to Texas is because of free markets, because of conservative values, and committed state leadership that's going to make sure that we keep it that way.
And real quick, George, I want to jump in. I made a mistake. I misspoke. This was the quotes about your dad being heartbroken came from an unnamed Republican consultant, not Carl Rove.
Even better.
So, man, they do not like you. It's clearly you're doing something right over there in Texas.
Yeah, well, I think it probably is Churchill, right, that said that if you're not getting flack on the underside of your air asset, you're probably not over the target. So,
very, you know, delicately put.
I just think that this party needs to look forward and find solutions and train fire on the true opponent here. And the state like Texas has to step up and meet that challenge.
No, I'm with you. And one final question. I'm curious, why did you support Donald Trump? What was it about Donald Trump that you said, yeah, he's the guy?
Well, back in 2016, after I got reelected, I basically led the Republican Party effort on behalf of the state party. And, you know, the enthusiasm, the energy, and just to be clear, like a lot of Republicans, you know, I supported another candidate. I supported
Sure.
my dad. But when things, you know, didn't work out for the campaign, I immediately, and I was one of the first here in statewide politics to get on the Trump train. And, you know, I reminded, and I always have this debate with members of my family, that the to reconcile supporting somebody like Hillary Clinton is unacceptable. And as I got to know the president more and his ideas and how it works for our state, it's led to just incredible prosperity, particularly for an agency like ours, where we deal with oil and gas and hard hat blue collar workers that depend on these industries that the left is trying to erase from the map. And then in his reelection effort, I was happy to be involved in the campaign. And I remember making a bold proclamation that Trump is the only thing standing between this country and socialism. And I turned out to be right. You know, we've seen a proposal of over $10 trillion in new spending, piling up a mountain of debt that our children and our grandchildren will never be able to pay off. And it's just, it's very alarming, and it's happening in short order. And so I, for one, have a sense of urgency about this, and remain committed to the America First policies.
All right, George, where can folks go if they would like to get more information about your campaign?
Please check out my website at georgepfortexas.com, where you can learn more about what we're up to. And then we also have our social media outlets, whether that's Facebook or others. And but again, I committed myself to not be on there, but we've got a really good team that can follow up with you and make sure that we can get you all involved in the campaign.
Love it. All right, George, we're going to leave it there. We're going to get you back on later in the campaign. Best of luck to you out there.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
All right, George P. Bush, ladies and gentlemen, good fella. Don't believe all the garbage you're going to be reading in the mainstream media about this guy, but he's a good guy, and he does back the Trump agenda. And if you back the Trump agenda, that means you're thinking correctly. So we'll see how that goes. And it is curious, you know, he did not necessarily refute that there were some hurt feelings within the family there. But again, according to media, I do want to set the record straight. This was not Karl Rove, but Karl Rove is mentioned, and I'll clear that up just briefly here. This is from Mediaite.com. There is an enormous disturbance inside the Bush family regarding George P.'s support for Trump, said one longtime Republican consultant who spoke to Mediaite on condition of anonymity. Jeb is heartbroken, adding that he had heard the word heartbroken repeatedly in conversations this week with various Bush insiders. And then they referenced a tweet that Karl Rove made where he just posted a photo of a book that had George H.W. Bush on the cover. And they said that should be viewed as a rebuke of George P.'s schism from the family. What a mess. I'll tell you, folks, this Trump derangement syndrome, it will divide families. I mean, it's just, these people are just bonkers. All right. I got to tell you all about my Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. I've been bragging about this thing for weeks now. It has completely changed life in the Stearns household, and you need to get one for your home as well, especially if you have bad allergies. This thing is going to clear up all of the germs, all of the pollen, anything in your house that's going to cause you to sneeze or get sniffles or maybe get the watery eyes. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier eliminates all of that stuff. Also, they eliminate odors in your house, whether it's paint, if you have new paint, or maybe the carpet in your home. There's all sorts of stuff there, and it can get a little bit odorous at times. Well, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier, it eliminates all of those odors too. And they've got quite a deal for all of our listeners. You're going to save a lot of money if you go online right now, EdenPureDeals.com, and just put in the code word Todd, T-O-D-D. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Use the code word Todd, and you're going to get $10 off their lowest sale price. That's an incredible deal. And if you order today, they're going to throw in free shipping as well, and that's even better. EdenPureDeals.com, code word Todd. That's EdenPureDeals, code word Todd.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
Well, things are not going good for Senora Kamala Harris. She is down south of the border in Guatemala, and she's meeting with the Guatemalan president, Alejandro Giammattei. And President Alejandro is telling it like it is. He's having a come-to-Jesus minute during this joint press conference with Senora Harris. And basically he said that, hey, you guys are the problem. You got to stop telling people to come to America. What's wrong with you? This is pretty entertaining. We're going to go through, we'll do a deep dive into this tomorrow. The press conference is still going on. But the president said that we've got to talk about the root causes. We're talking about the Guatemalan president. He said that they're not on the same side of the coin. He said that the problem is that the United States has a more welcoming message to migrants. And the message has changed, too. We're going to reunite families. We're going to reunite children. And then he says the very next day, the coyotes were here organizing groups of children to take them to the United States. President Alejandro says, we ask the United States government to send a more clear message to prevent more people from leaving. Good for you, sir. Good for you. But Kamala Harris still is not going to our border. And you know why? You know why she's not going to go to the border? Because she knows. She knows what old crazy Uncle Joe is up to. Yeah, I know he's going out there and he's hitting on little young girls and offering them free ice cream. We all know that's going on. But you know what? He's still a smart operator. He's a shrewd guy. And he knows that if Kamala Harris goes to the border, she owns the problem. She owns the disaster. That's why she's not going anywhere near that border. As a matter of fact, when she was flying down to Guatemala on Air Force Two, the rumor is she made them fly around, so they didn't even cross the border. They went around the border. She doesn't even fly over the border. Because you know what's going to happen? If that had happened, Joe Biden would have been up there saying, well, you know, Kamala, as she was flying over the border, she saw X, Y, you know, it's on her. At that point, it's on her. That's why she doesn't want to go anywhere near that border, because she knows what's really going down. Oh, it's Pride Month. I thought this was just a one-day, one-and-done deal, but apparently there's a lot of activities during the month. You hate to be the person who has to plan all of those, you know, events, but apparently there are a lot of events going on, and Disney especially is using this time to announce that they're going woke. We told you the story. What was it on Friday? What was that? The Proud, Out and Proud family or something?
Louder and Prouder.
Okay, yeah, whatever. So they got now two gay dads who gave birth to, did they give birth to a 14-year-old?
I don't know, Todd. I have not given that much more thought because it's so absurd.
They're not allowed to do that, actually. It's biologically impossible.
Well, yeah.
But then they got the non-conforming kid. Well, now Disney's got another show. This is one of their live-action shows, and it's about a girls' basketball team.
Oh, geez.
So you kind of know where this is going. So Disney is announcing the show is, it's a family drama called Big Shots.
Great.
Starring John Stamos. And anyway, he's the coach of a girls basketball team at a private girls high school. The show will feature a lesbian teenager falling in love and making out with another student. So,
I'm guessing on the basketball team.
Unclear.
I bet it will be. Just watch.
There's a guitar involved. I'm looking at the photograph here, and it's hard to tell from this angle. So it's definitely a biracial lesbian kiss.
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh. So there you go. Disney's just going full-blown woke.
I mean, they're just, like, throwing the doors open of the closet. They're like, let's go. Let's let it all out.
Mm-hmm. Both of them are playing guitars. It's kind of like the what was the Indigo Girls? Were they
what?
I don't know. It's
You're talking about on Disney Channel?
No, no, no. I'm talking about the characters that the lesbians that are making out on the Disney TV show are both holding guitars. So I guess they were playing folk music when they became enraptured with one another.
Okay.
I'm describing the photo.
I know you are.
It's on Breitbart.com, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if they're probably wearing comfortable shoes, but one of them is wearing a blue jean jacket, you know, uh-huh. So that's...
I wear jean jackets.
But you're married.
Yeah.
There you go. Disney, ladies and gentlemen, the happiest place on earth.
Jeez Louise.
It's a freak show. All right, we're out of here, folks. I'm telling you, why can't you just have Mickey Mouse and Goofy and, you know, Donald Duck, you know... Anybody miss those days? Yeah, all right. Get out there. Have a good day, America. This is the Todd Stern Show.